Welcome to the Young and the Restless Recap. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Amanda.
And it's our 75th Diamond Jubilee episode.
That's also celebrating our 100,000th download.
Yeah. Can you believe that we've podcasted this many episodes and then also that many people might have potentially listened?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's amazing. Good for you, listeners.
And for me, it's hilarious because I think back when we very first started this and I didn't know how to hardly even push record.
Well,
and yet the sound quality still sucks.
To sit there and talk, so my level of knowledge has not increased at all. So I'm thankful for all of your efforts.
Or that we used to do it upstairs with the windows open, with like the birds and the fire trucks in the background. That was good.
Yeah. Atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah. So I should go back. And have you ever thought about going back and listening to our first podcast?
I have, but it kind of horrifies me, so I don't.
I bet we're a lot more professional. That would be my guess. I think we.
I would hope so, but yeah, now I am going to go back and listen to it. I do want to give a shout out to Thor, though, for all of his technical help over the years.
Yeah.
Because there were a couple times when we were super lost, and he just kind of came in and went, well, duh, do this. And
yeah, that's true.
We did it, and it worked. So thanks, Thor. Love you.
Thanks, Thor. Okay. So we are going to announce some contesty stuff at the end, and I have some postcards I would love to send to some listeners, and we'll talk about how to make that work. So we'll do that at the very end.
Right.
Where should we start? Should we?
In the meantime.
Yeah. Should we talk about Sharon?
Yeah, let's start with Sharon.
Okay. So Sharon's in the mental hospital.
The mental hospital, trying desperately to figure out how to get pregnant with a three-month-old baby, or fetus.
Remind me, is that a woman's only? Are there any male patients?
I don't know one way or the other, but I think that it is a women's only facility.
Or maybe it's like the women's wing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that. Something it's, gender segregated.
It's hard to know when the only extras are catty.
Walking around.
Yeah. So, yeah, Sharon is clearly not pregnant. We all know she's not pregnant. She had her miscarriage and is hoping to get pregnant.
Somehow.
Okay, so this is where I don't understand with everyone not calling her out on it, though, is that she and Sage got pregnant relatively close together.
At the same time.
Because it was Sage announced her pregnancy, and then everybody was worried about Sharon, and Sharon went, no, I'm great, because I'm pregnant, too! We can both celebrate.
Right.
And then she and Sage were theoretically bonding on their new pregnancies.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about Sage having her baby, but she did have her baby. And here's Sharon still in this state of 98 pounds.
Right, yeah. So really, anyone with any sense of knowledge of pregnancy and the physical effects thereof would be able to say, nuh-uh, you're so not pregnant. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, I was thinking, okay, well, Dylan, he does kind of fall into this category of like a doofy guy. But at the same time, remember, he helped Chelsea so much when she was pregnant because he thought it was his kid.
Yeah.
So he's,
he should know better.
Yeah. Everyone should know better.
Yeah.
But I think we've talked about this before where I'm convinced that everyone in Fairview fully is just playing along with Sharon. Like, it's like it's a joke in the office or, like, in the lunchroom.
Yeah.
Like,
play along with her fantasy until he realizes that it's not happening.
Yeah. Like, I feel
and
like
she's like, oh, I've got everyone convinced.
Like,
so
the custodians are in the back, like, shoving a pillow under their shirt, like, check it out, I'm Sharon Newman.
Right. Yes.
Because it's so obvious she's not pregnant. I really don't know what her plan is. Because I thought she was going to steal Sage's baby. Well,
right,
that didn't
and now
happen.
She can't.
I mean, not to say that she might not still steal a baby that is not, you know, brand new, but
from somewhere. Yeah, but there's no story arc if she just steals some random baby. She needs to steal a baby that we are connected to.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. But so then Patty's in there too. And at first they were, Sharon was like, leave me alone. Patty, you're mm-hmm. crazy. And, I don't know, are they're not exactly buddies. What would you call them?
Well, I think no one else is talking to Sharon. And so she's just so happy to have anyone give her any kind of attention.
Yeah.
That she's willing to go along with it.
Okay.
But I don't think I think Sharon has put herself in, you know, kind of that position of superiority that, oh, well, I'm not really crazy. I'm just pretending to be crazy, whereas Patty is actually crazy, so I need to be nice to her.
Mm.
Whereas I think of the two of them, Patty's probably the more sane.
For the moment, yeah.
For the moment, yeah.
Yeah. Although I did really enjoy this last week. I don't know if you saw it. So Sharon's therapist, I didn't catch her name, but so she's got like bright red hair. She's kind of a new face to us, although I swear she's sort of familiar. I'm trying to crack the code on that one. But she and Sharon are having this little counseling session in like an open air room, and Patty's just on the other side of like the doorway listening. And
right,
what kind of confidentiality?
Confidentiality and HIPAA are really concerns at this place.
Like, Patty's listening to the entire counseling session, trying to work a way that she's going to get in there and be Sharon's new BFF.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And then there was this, an area, too, where Sharon had really lost it during a counseling session. What was she upset about? Remember, she totally just lost it. She was like, nobody ever gives a crap about me. And her eyes were all big.
Oh, right. And is that when they put her on the new meds that suddenly...
Oh, yes.
...seemed to be, you know, changing her whole life. And Sharon was going on and on about how, oh, I slept so well last night and I feel like I'm a person and, you know, I feel great. And
Patty had come to her and said...
Oh, you go home. And she said, well, I'm not ready to go home yet, though.
Yeah, and Patty had said, you better watch out because those super intense drugs they're giving you are bad for your baby, even though
right.
we all know there is no baby, but
but a legitimate concern, and it does kind of show that Patty's more with it than Sharon at this point.
Oh yeah, I can't wait until
you can be some significantly crazy if Patty is the saner.
I always feel like when Sharon is sane, that's when they give her the side part. And when she's not really, that's when she has that crappy middle part that we always think makes her look more tired.
Yeah, yeah. No,
so we'll know that she's on the right track when they get back to the side part. And Dylan was in there just the other day, too. And he looks concerned, and he's like, man, are you okay? You're acting funny. And she's like, I'm just tired. I'm pregnant and I'm tired. It's no big deal. And he's got this look that communicates, you know, some questionable thoughts, but he just goes along with it. He's too busy being incompetent in a whole other area, too. He is definitely in the running, number one most incompetent at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as a boyfriend, as a parent of this unborn child, and as a, you know, human being.
Everything. A business owner.
Business owner. Right. Which I think it will be funny if he wins the Paul Williams Award.
Yeah, I love how we do call it that. Totally random, one thing that I just remembered is, so Dylan, he does own the coffee shop.
But he's never anymore.
No, he's not there, but there's a reason behind it that I just read about a little bit. So, when they had the 2-year Mrs. Chancellor has died sort of...
commemoration.
Yes, commemoration. Thank you. Esther was there, and Esther had moved out of the Chancellor estate.
And finally.
They made a big deal about it, you know, and she was crying and she was saying, I can't believe I'm leaving, but I gotta go. Like, this is just not a place for me anymore. And... I read an interview with the actress where she had thought, oh, she's being written out of the show.
Yeah.
But no, then they brought her into the coffee house, and Dylan said, well, how about you work at the coffee house?
And oh!
So now that's fun. Right? Yeah, exactly. And so she, and the interview with the actor, she was like, yeah, it's kind of exciting because now I'm getting to interact with people I don't ever normally interact with, and it's a completely different way. So
yeah, well, and she gets to have an actual role.
Yeah, so Esther is definitely, so that is sort of her new place. And we've seen her, especially in this last week, she's in the coffee shop. So she was a pretty effective maid, right? So maybe she'll bring a level of professionalism.
She was very, yeah, she was up on it. So I feel like maybe this might be the turning point.
Yeah.
You know, change it from Crimson Lights, which is the stupidest name ever, to, you know, Esther's Place.
Oh, I love that. That would be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool. Ooh. Residuals, where's my money?
Yeah. Because I was a little sad when they moved her out. I went, oh, you know, like Esther isn't exactly my favorite character.
Yeah, I've always liked Esther as a character. But I think she's always been underplayed.
And she's been around for so long that I think it would be nice for her to get some legit screen time. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So Sharon's still nuts.
Yeah. I don't even know what else to say.
We don't know who else knows how crazy she is. Is that kind of where that landed?
I think so, yeah. I think her being at Fairview keeps her from interacting with a lot of her normal friends and family.
So, uh-huh.
So the red flags aren't up yet, but if you think in, I don't know, like January, like around the holidays, her family's going to be like, shouldn't mom have had that baby by now?
Yeah, or at least be showing, or, you know, why doesn't she want to see us at Christmas?
Yeah.
Because she has that ban on letting her family come and see her, right?
Well, I don't know. I feel like people have visited her. I don't know. Huh. I really don't know. I can't remember.
I thought that she had told the facility, you know, yes, Dylan can come and see me because he's the father of my baby that I'm totally having, but that no one else could because she needed the rest, and the reason she was there was to get away from the
I
little people.
Noah came and visited at one point, though.
Yeah, Mariah did.
Yeah.
I think Noah did, too.
Maybe she just fakes a nap when they show up.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
It's mealtime, sorry.
She knows that she shouldn't let Faith see her.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, we'll see where it goes, because I feel like something's got to happen soon.
Yeah, definitely.
So then should we talk about Sage's real baby?
Yeah, let's talk about Sage's actual having a baby.
Remember she was in, okay, you were the one who told me about her getting Giardia.
Right, Giardia.
Giardia.
Giardia is a fear of
really?
That French actor.
Good one.
So she was in the hospital because she had been fainting or throwing up or not throwing up or something, and the doctor came in and said, oh, we finally figured out what's wrong with you. You have Giardia. And they're all just like, what?
But part of it was that when she...
The entire viewing population, because that is just as random as can be.
Yes. No, but remember she was at the ranch or the tack house or wherever they live, and she wasn't feeling good, and she was, like, doubled over on the floor, and Victor came in to, like, I don't know, drop off something.
Victor rescued her.
Yeah, and he was like, hey, what's up? And she was, like, crawling across the carpet in absolute terror that he was going to steal the baby. And he was like, whoa, hold up. What's going on? Let me call the ambulance. And she was like, stay away from me.
Right.
It was a bad horror movie. And so she goes to the hospital, and Nick had really grilled Victor as if Victor had caused it.
How did you put her in the hospital?
Yeah, and finally Victor was like, you need to shut this down because I'm the one who called the ambulance. I'm the one who was there to help her.
Yeah.
And then
I basically saved her and you're treating me like I caused it. And she was like this when I got there.
Yes. So once the doctor had come in and was like, hey, by the way, you just needed to take some antibiotics and chill. She was like, I apologize. It really wasn't Victor. Victor did help me. And so now I feel like she's got this, she's really warmed up to Victor. Whereas it was this absolute panic about him at all moments.
And I think once she figured out that he really was sincere and wanted to help and wasn't going to steal her baby.
Yes.
Then everything relaxed.
Which was ironic about her being afraid. I was so certain somebody's going to steal the baby. But
I know.
Then later, not too much later, she's in the park, in Chancellor Park, and had been talking to Adam, which we'll get into later. But all of a sudden, she goes into labor on the park bench. And within one scene, he's got her laid up in the grass delivering the baby in the park.
Right. Well, and I loved his line of her saying, you know, he's like, okay, we have to call an ambulance. And she's like, no, I'm having the baby right now. And he's like, don't worry, I've done this before. Yeah. And I was like, oh, do you have a little card in your wallet that says, you know, certified baby deliverer?
Just the fact that it was like, hike up your dress, lay down on the ground, and her back's propped up on the bench. It's like, this is a public place, yo. There, I'm certain that we could get you to the hospital, which we all know is a half a block away, pretty quickly.
Right. Yeah, he couldn't carry her.
I don't know, the whole thing
is walking around without a shirt on. He has muscles. Yes. See you use them.
But whatever, he delivered the baby. They made it to the hospital. The baby is premature, so it's still in the hospital.
Yeah.
But she's fine. The baby's fine. They named it Christian.
Which is Victor's given name.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. You know, at least it's not one of these trendy new names.
Like what?
It's not that, you know, it's not a Jaden, Braden, Caden kind of a name or, you know.
I was hoping they'd go with something weird. You know how, like, a baby's always born in a storm, and so then they call it Storm, or, you know, or, like, Summer, you know?
Or name it Chancellor.
Yeah.
It was, you know, a park.
Yeah, I was going to say,
my name
was born
is
in a park.
Bench Newman.
Please. I wish. anyway. Yeah. She should have named it Adam, damn it.
She didn't say that they should name it Gabe.
Yes, exactly. okay. So, anyway, so she has the baby.
Baby's in an incubator. Baby's, you know, hooked up to a respirator.
Yeah.
And the shots that they've been doing of respirator baby have been pretty interesting just from the technical standpoint of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because it's pretty accurate, really. I mean, you never see the full-size little preemie baby, but the way that it's all hooked up and the breathing pattern and stuff.
I don't know how to process anything in The Young and the Restless actually being accurate right now. It's all terribly inaccurate.
By surprise. It was like, okay, all of their research dollars went into this one thing.
all right. Well... so then let's talk about Adam and Ian and Paragon and that whole mess, because that's a lot.
That's key to a lot of other storylines.
Yeah. I don't know, where do we even start? Ian was living in the RV.
And making nice with Phyllis, who didn't realize who he was.
Yeah, he was the kindly old fisherman Fred.
Mm-hmm.
The widower.
Right. The old lad.
But he was secretly masterminding a enormous cybercrime virus to take down the Newmans from his RV.
Right.
While also, like, popping off the top of a can of Denny Moore beef stew.
Yes.
So, and Adam was also, you know, his accomplice or part, I don't know, would you call partners?
I wouldn't say partners so much as lackey.
Okay, yeah. It's weird because I feel like, you know, I'm not saying Adam is necessarily a mastermind. But I think when we talk about schemes, his schemes are usually more thought out or a little bit more complicated.
Much more scheming.
And for him to get together with Ian seems like something he, I mean, I guess he would do out of necessity, but that he might have forethought, that's a bad plan. It's an unpredictable
person.
Right,
that's going to work.
And then also just the mess of how this whole Paragon thing has happened is also doesn't really seem like something Adam would do.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, so Chelsea figures out that Adam is I don't want to say shacking up with Ian Ward.
They're in cahoots.
That's a good way. She gets pissed. I don't even remember. Kind of cuts him loose. And everybody's kind of figuring it all out at once.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, how did Adam get arrested? I can't even remember. He came clean. He turned himself in.
Yeah, well, once it came out that he was Adam Newman.
Oh, yeah, Chelsea told everybody, remember?
Chelsea pissed off.
She was like, you've been in cahoots with Ian. I just can't handle it anymore. You're such a liar. And she went and spilled it all to everybody. She told Billy because she knew Billy would flip out. She told, Victor. Everybody knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so
Adam knew that he was going to get arrested anyway. So I think he kind of just said, yes, I deserve it because I did kill Delia, even though it wasn't my fault. So I'm going to just turn myself in.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the good thing for a change because then maybe Chelsea will love me.
Yeah, I don't ever feel as if it's truly something where Adam's like, oh, I'm going to do the right thing because it's the right thing. There's always an angle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And so in this case, it was to garner sympathy from Chelsea, who's about ready to rip his head off.
Yes.
So he goes, he confesses everything to Paul and Christine. He admits to, accidentally hitting Delia, but then covering up the evidence. And then getting in a car accident and having reconstructive surgery and living a lie.
And Billy sued him because he made sure that people knew that Billy had shot him.
Yes, but then he kept saying, I want you to know that Billy should take no blame.
Right.
And
which isn't up for him to decide, but okay, whatever.
Yeah. So anyway, they have him, in jail for a little while and he's kind of stressing out. But he and Victor make a deal, basically, because when Adam finds out that Chelsea's so mad, she's just going to leave town. She's going to go disappear. She can't handle him anymore, which I thought was a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chelsea probably should.
Makes sense.
And I'm glad that she made it a point to say it will not be Paris, because that's so obvious. I was trying to think, she should go to Beijing.
Somewhere. Or she should go to Milan.
Yeah. Ooh, that's nice. But it's too close to Paris. I was trying to pick a completely opposite continent in the.
Oh, okay, then Beijing.
And somewhere she could do her fashioning. I don't know.
Or
anyway.
Hong Kong.
So she's about ready to leave town. Adam figures it out. So he works a deal with Victor where he will reverse all of the Paragon damage that's occurred if Victor can pull some strings with an attorney general or something along those lines. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
A district attorney. I have no clue. To basically get Adam out on bail. And Victor goes to the hearing and testifies on Adam's behalf that, Adam is sorry and he didn't intend to do this and that Victor will be in charge, Adam can be in his custody while he's out on bail. So Adam is currently released on bail.
Right.
And I got a weird sense that now they're going to come to Billy about his whole involvement in shooting Adam that night. I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that's likely.
And then you didn't see...
Wouldn't it be in Victor's interest to have Billy go to jail for shooting Adam? I mean, he hates Billy.
I totally thought that was part of it.
Billy and Victoria are getting back together, so...
Yeah, I kind of felt like Victor is definitely working an angle of his own, where, okay, so he gets Adam out on bail, the Paragon thing is reversed. Oh, and by the way, Billy did this terrible thing, and now if he has Adam on his side, at least for the time being, then it can go against Billy. So I guess,
yeah.
Mike, the question to me was, who does Victor despise more, Adam or Billy?
Billy.
Really?
Yeah. Because Billy has sex with his daughter.
I guess, but...
You know, and you know Victoria is his secret favorite.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He totally favors her.
I always felt like he favored Nick.
No.
Especially like with the business stuff. Like, he'll let Victoria take stuff over while Nick is off running a coffee shop or a bar. But then anytime Nick steps back in, it's like Victoria goes to second place. I don't know.
Well, that's just sexism of him not thinking that a girl can do business.
And I thought it was all the same thing. Okay, but you're saying she's the favorite. Okay. All right, I could see that. Well, it doesn't matter because he's favoritizing. What's the word? He's showing favoritism to Abby.
Yes. Yes. He's pretending he likes Abby better.
Yeah. I don't know what else. Oh, let's keep talking about Chelsea for half a second here, because okay. I want to talk about her horrible outfit. When she was telling everybody all the crap about Adam, she was wearing this sort of flesh-colored trench coat that looked like it was super boxy, and it was not like a slick, cool trench coat. It was like a trench coat jumpsuit with flaps. I don't know. It was terrible. It was awful.
Yeah.
And then her hair. I thought, maybe if they'd had it pulled up, like, super professional, I could have sort of got where they were going with it. But they had her hair pulled back in these, like, really super tight princess curls. I don't know. The whole thing was terrible. It was hideous.
Yeah.
But I think I mentioned once before, too, then when she confronted Adam when he was arrested, then she walked in the next day wearing, like, a cool leather jacket. And I don't know. Like, she just looks
awesome. She's been really uneven.
Yeah, she. Well,
it's either
I think she
awesome
always is.
Or it's awful.
It's always like that with her, though.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if that's because they want to make her look edgy as a fashion designer, that she's taking risks.
I think that's exactly it.
It just doesn't work, or
I think that's what it is. But they do a really crap job of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Because I don't understand if she's a designer. I really don't understand what's her aesthetic? What's her style?
Right. And I think that that's just a product of, you know, they're trying to show high fashion to the Midwest.
Okay. Well.
You know, and that stuff that's really significantly daring or interesting or has, you know, any kind of fashion history to it wouldn't play as well on a soap opera.
Okay. Okay, sure. All right. Maybe she just really needs to bedazzle a bunch of, like, Milwaukee Brewers t-shirts or whatever.
There you go. I'd buy that.
That's what I would call a little Midwest fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Okay, so moving on. Should we talk about Devon? We got to talk about Devon.
Yeah.
And Hillary.
Got to talk about
and Neil and Gwen and Dylan.
Because that goes back to distance.
Yeah. So we've got Neil with Hillary in a coma, hidden in the lake house, or
right.
The boat house, or whatever. What is this house called?
Let's call it the boat house.
The Neil got electrocuted and was blinded himself house.
Right. That's a little too long, but yeah.
Did they ever go in and, like, fix the loose wires?
I'm sure that Devon hired a competent electrician to go in and fix everything.
Okay. All right.
Let's just assume that an actual licensed and bonded contractor has been there, and that electrocution is the least of the worries.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. So Gwen was really getting suspicious of all of Neil's strange behavior. At first, they thought maybe he was secretly taking prescription drugs or maybe drinking. Lily's concerned. Devon can't be concerned because he's far too worried about Hillary.
Right.
Now they know she wasn't murdered necessarily. They believe she's missing or kidnapped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Gwen follows Neil and finally stumbles upon Hillary in the boathouse.
Right.
And Neil confronted her, you know, right after she realized. She sees Hillary laid up with an IV in a coma.
Yeah. And Neil's the one who takes offense. Why are you following me?
Yeah. Neil really? Is the worst. He is the worst.
He is.
In a really entertaining way.
I guess. Of course.
But I was so surprised because at first Gwen is like, this is horrible. What a terrible person you are. Your son is beside himself with anguish that his wife is missing or kidnapped. You've got her holed up here in the same town in a coma, and she's not receiving proper medical supplies or, you know, anything.
Or care. Even any monitoring. It's not like there's somebody there 24 hours. So if she went into a seizure or anything and nobody was there.
I know.
You know? Totally. They could easily come back and find her dead.
Because she did wake up at one point for, you know, half a scene, but she was alone, and she was like, I'm in the boathouse. And then she kind of fell back into the coma.
Right.
So anyway, Neil somehow convinces Gwen to keep it on the down low and to essentially be his accomplice. Help me get more medical supplies so that I can take care of her.
Yeah, don't help me figure out a way to get her to the hospital so that we don't get caught.
Yeah.
How can we commit a felony?
And she goes along with it.
Yeah, help me dig this hole a little bit deeper.
And they're really pushing this sort of, I don't know, illicit romance between Neil and Gwen, like,
yeah, it doesn't sell.
No, not at all.
It's getting too Svengali. She's just so enraptured by him that, you know, she'll do anything he wants, and it's just sad.
Like, he's not good enough at showing that kind of sort of subtle manipulation.
Right.
He's just not, I mean, honestly, I just don't think he's good enough actor or whatever it is.
Yeah, there's no subtlety in his acting, so.
And I think that she's carrying a lot of those scenes where he does that sort of weird impulsive tantrum-y kind of stuff over and over again. And it's funny. It is really funny. But convincing, but not so much. So anyway, Gwen is helping Neil, and meanwhile Devon gets a ransom note. And where was it, like, faxed to him at the athletic club?
It was delivered to him, you know, hand-delivered by a kid that they never saw. And so, like, somebody dropped it off at the front desk, and the desk clerk brought it to Devon, and Devon's like, you know, you idiot. Why didn't you stop whoever it was? And the desk clerk's like, what? It was some kid. You know, why would I stop them?
Yeah.
You know, you get mail here all the time. You own this place. Stop yelling at me.
And it was such a, like, typical ransom note with, like, the letters cut out or whatever. I don't know. $1 million.
$1 million, which is not very much.
No.
And there were comments about, well, that's not very much to you. You know, that's chump change.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I'll
and
pay
yeah,
it.
He was like, $1 million. I'll have it by noon. What do I do? What do I do? And who tried to convince him? Was it Dylan that tried to convince him to go to the police or somebody?
Yeah, it was Dylan.
I mean,
Dylan and I think Lily.
Okay, so that's like the one competent thing Dylan's done is attempted to persuade Devon to go to the police. But then Devon refuses. He says, no, I don't want to mess with it. And Kane was really advocating for not going to the police.
Mm-hmm.
And you had said before, you think Kane might be, like, the fake ransom number guy.
Yeah, I think Kane might have written the note and, you know, was kind of in the background of the whole thing to be able to show Devon how easily he can be duped.
Yeah.
To say, everybody in the country, in the world, knows that your wife is missing and that you don't know where she is. How easy would it be to get $1 million out of you? Look, I got it out of you in 12 hours.
Well, and at first we thought maybe it might be Colin, too, because Colin was lurking in the background, like, behind the lattice. And finally they called him out on it, and they were like, dude, you've basically been attempting to eavesdrop on our conversations for 2 full days. We've seen you. We just haven't acknowledged you because you're obnoxious. But for real, dude, what's the deal?
Yeah, and, give it a rest.
And I am with you at this point. I think Kane has something to do with that ransom note for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to believe the best of Kane, and so that's why I say it was to teach Devon a lesson. But, you know, Kane has disappointed me by trying to be evil in the past, so I'm not exactly sure. But Kane was also saying, I need to go to the drop. You can't just send Dylan to do it. Uh-huh. I need to be there too. And Devon's like, no, you can't be there. Says one person, you know, if you are seen, then they're going to kill Hillary.
Do you get the sense that maybe the writers like watched The Big Lebowski one weekend for fun, and then they were like, let's write this whole
thing. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, we should totally do this.
A fake ransom note, a really incompetent drop off of the money.
Yep, it's all coming together.
Yeah. So I don't know, but why did Dylan do the drop off? He insisted that he would be the one to do it. He had experience. He's, you know, this is his thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He was, you know, really playing up that he was the only one who could manage it.
Let me handle it. Put your trust in me. And so then he goes, what was it, at the park to drop off the money?
Yeah. It was the park.
And fails as miserably as one could fail.
Yeah, because he doesn't even get to the drop site before a man who we couldn't see his face, but we could see his hands, so we know it's not Colin, basically bumps into him, takes the briefcase full of money, and runs off.
Yeah, it's
and
like
Dylan left holding onto his own butt.
Like a younger set of Caucasian male hands, right?
Yes, yes. So not an old man, not arthritis-y, you know, taller than Dylan, but that's not saying much.
Yeah.
Slim build, you know,
guy
in a black coat.
Who basically rushes Dylan, gets the money. Dylan is left, like, hanging, like, crap, somebody totally just took the money and ran off, and I'm just standing here. Whoops.
Yeah. Yeah, just a total doofus.
And he comes back. So, he gets back to the athletic club.
He went back.
And Devon's like, so where's Hillary? And Dylan's like, oh man, it was crazy. Somebody came up and took the money, and I lunged at him, but he was faster than me. And Devon looks like he's going to beat the shit out of Dylan. Because he's like,
yeah,
what do you mean?
Yeah, and if he had, he would have been fully justified.
Yeah, I was waiting for it. It's like he's, what's the word, apoplexy, you know, you're so mad
apoplectic.
That, yes, because he's like, you said this was your area of expertise, you promised that Hillary's life would be safe in your hands, and you just let the kidnapper get away, they took the money, and you got nothing, and Dylan's like, I'm sorry, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's like, dude, you had one thing to do, and couldn't even manage that.
It was so bad, so bad.
So,
I would also like to point out that I think Lily's outfits are her, speaking of Chelsea's crappy fashion, that I think Lily looks good all the time.
Lily has been looking really good, especially her hair. Her hair has been styled up lately, and it's really, it's cute, and it's kind of age appropriate for someone in her position.
Yeah.
So I feel like, but it really struck me the other day. It was like, oh, wow, look at her. She looks sophisticated and like a real business person. And you know, so, yeah.
I rag on Lily a lot. Lily is obviously not one of my favorite characters. But at the same time, when she looks good and she's not super mean girl, I do like her. And I like the idea of her interacting with younger characters more. I just feel like she's always kind of off in this, like, I don't know. I don't know. Her character is just not very fun.
No, no. And, you know, if they had that be a product of her, you know, being a full-time mother and working full-time.
Yeah, that would, then it would make sense.
To these twins, then it would make a little bit more sense. But now it doesn't because we never see her kids.
And I don't really see her doing any work. I mean, she's at her physical workplace, but she's not really doing anything.
Well, she walks around with a clipboard. What are you talking about? That's totally a job.
Oh, so true. I mean, remember when she was organizing the gala or you know, like a wedding or something like that? That made a lot of sense.
Yeah. But
at this point, they just have her there all the time. Come on, like, do something.
Do something, yeah.
I'm waiting for the next big Lily storyline, honestly. I think simply because her character has bored me. But I think she looks good.
Yeah, she looks good, even if she is bored.
So, I don't know, what else?
So, Neil has Hillary in the boathouse.
Yeah.
And he knew he was going to need more supplies.
Yes.
And because somebody talked to the pilot, I guess they know that the police, that is, know that she's somewhere near.
Yeah.
And that maybe she needs medical supplies. And somebody speaks up and says, well, you know, we've been missing a lot of just kind of random things like syringes and IVs and saline solutions. So someone gets the bright idea to put a tracking chip in a box of coma victim supplies.
Another one of Dylan's genius ideas.
Yeah, and so they leave that in a very obvious place, you know, under, you know, on the coma victim shelf or something. And
with like a post-it that's like, don't steal me, JK, JK.
Right. Yes, exactly. So Gwen grabs the box, takes it back to the boathouse.
Yes.
And as they're unloading it, back at the police station, the police are getting all excited because, oh, look, the tracking chip is moving and it's, going someplace. And now we're really going to catch him this time for sure.
Uh-huh.
And Neil opens the box and pulls out all the supplies and finds the chip and says, what have you done? Cracks the chip in half. And then the police go, oh, it disappeared.
Yeah, whoops.
Oh, we have no idea where it was when it turned off. Because we're the GCPD and we can't even get that much right.
No. Well, I mean, to be fair, if you worked at that police department, it would be impossible to keep straight all of the drama that these same core group of people are constantly. I mean, because at the same time that Adam was getting arrested, you know, Sage is delivering the baby in the park, and
There was a lot going on that day.
So
they
basically had
it,
like,
still,
you know,
it seems to me that if you have sophisticated enough equipment that you can track the chip, that you should be able to figure out, well, when the chip turns off, that you should start your search.
Maybe that is where everything just ended. Why not go there? But no, they don't. They're basically like, well, write that one off.
It's like, oh, it's disappeared. We need to start from scratch. Get a new box together. Put an even bigger chip in it this time. Maybe that will help.
So another one of Dylan's plans gone awry.
Right.
So at this point, Neil feels the pressure. He feels things are closing in. He knows that this is not going to end well. And so whereas Gwen has, you know, been all over him. Oh, I'm going to help you. And I don't know, this whole, yeah, she's definitely like in love with him. Then he, did you see where he was like, you've got to get out of here. You've got to leave forever. And he was really mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I felt like it was one of those scenes where it's like somebody has like a dog or a horse and they're like, get out of here. Go. But on the inside, you know, they're like dying. But it was right. One of those things, yeah. Like, scram, shoo.
Well, if you love someone, set them free, and if they come back, then they're yours forever, and if not, then you're screwed.
I'm so upset that Gwen was once introduced as this very sharp character, and she has been reduced to an emotional pile of putty.
She's as immature as they get on this show.
It's bad.
Which is saying something.
But then again, if she's in love with Neil, that's a red flag right there.
That's true.
So he's like, get out of here, go. And Gwen leaves. And he's still got Hillary in the bed, right?
Right.
But I felt like he was going to turn himself in. I have not watched Friday's episode, so that may have happened, but I got the sense that things are close to being, I don't know, she's going to be discovered.
It just seems like either he's going to turn himself in and turn and say, you know, she's in this boathouse, or he's going to show up, you know, carrying her to the hospital.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Remember, they were going to get a doctor.
Oh, right!
You saw that spoiler. Yeah.
Because from All My Children is coming over.
Yeah, and that was one of the last things that I saw Gwen and Neil talk about was Gwen was, hey, I got a hold of this guy. I heard about him. He will come potentially and provide some medical expertise on the down low. And that's when Neil's like, okay, give me the phone number. Now get the hell out.
So, yeah. Okay.
So actually I changed my mind. Maybe this will be dragged out for a while.
Yeah. This is going to be dragged out for a while because, A, they're going to get this doctor, but then we have to find out why is the doctor willing to do this. And the guy who's playing the doctor is a brilliant soap actor. He's been around for a million years. So I'm excited to see him in a different role.
And remember when Adam stole Ashley's baby and the whole hysterical pregnancy thing? Adam had arranged for that doctor. You know, he had some dirt on the guy. And the guy was willing to pretend that Ashley was pregnant and go along with her story. So it could be another one of those things where, you know, this guy's got some dirt. I don't know. Something.
Yeah. Something. There's got to be a reason why he's willing to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why he's not an ethical doctor. That is, like, Stitch.
Oh, Stitch. What the hell? I thought Stitch and Abby broke up, but then they've been together, you know, like, oh, well, let's have dinner. Oh, no, let's not have dinner. I am so sick of Stitch and Abby. Stabby.
Yeah, they're just spinning their wheels until someone better comes along.
Yeah. Actually, we should probably talk about Marissa and Luca a little bit, too.
Okay, yeah.
Well, did we talk about that last? I can't even remember. Did we talk about Luca?
We didn't the last podcast. We did not.
Because
it's in the last episode.
Oh, that's right. Luca is Marissa's ex-husband who comes from some very affluent Spanish family.
Mm-hmm.
And he's lurking on her like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And Noah had broken up with Marissa. Why did he break up with her?
He broke up with her because she hadn't told him that she had been married.
Oh, I think. But I feel like and it was more to
it. Her ex-husband's in town, and she's like, oh, okay, so there's one other thing I forgot to tell you about my past. I was kind of married to this really rich guy. That has nothing to do with the fact that now I'm with you, who's another really rich guy. But his family didn't like me at all, kind of like the way your family doesn't like me, but it's not like that at all, and so you should still love me. And Noah, rightfully so, says, yeah, later.
You know who would be a good couple is Marissa and Adam, because neither of them can seem to tell the truth about anything, and it's always in the name of love, but I feel like if they were like a domestic couple, they'd be in the kitchen and Adam would say, you know, what are we having for dinner? And she'd have been planning, like, I don't know, lasagna. And she says, chow mein. And like, everything would be a lie all the time.
Right, yeah. So no matter what it is, it can't be the truth.
And really, he knew the secret. He knew they were having lasagna, but he wasn't willing to say it.
Right, right. Well, and now all you've done is make me want chow mein and lasagna, so thanks for that.
I'm sorry. I'll tell you, I've got pulled pork in the crock pot right now. I'm pretty excited.
I don't want to even hear about that.
Sorry. Yeah, so...
So, yeah, so we know that Luca is in town and he wants Marissa back,
well,
I guess?
Yeah, so I just watched, so Marissa, remember she got mugged. We didn't talk about that. She was upset. Noah had broken up with her. I don't know, she was like on the edge of town for some reason. They never showed it, but she got mugged and she got sent, she was in the hospital. And meanwhile, I think Paul or Dylan was with Devon, and they said, oh, unidentified woman just found, brought into the hospital, and Devon just assumed it was Hillary, rushed over there, just flew into the room, saw that it was Marissa, and then he's totally distraught.
He's like, damn it!
And meanwhile, Marissa's in there, and then Noah hears that she's been mugged and she's in the hospital, and then, I don't know, Abby or Mariah, somebody's like, you love her, go to her, be with her. So he goes back to her. I don't know that they're back together, though, are they? I wasn't clear on that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
They have feelings. But yeah, well. Marissa is in the hospital for... I don't know, a few days, which to me is hilarious because I feel like a lot of people have a baby and they're in there for 12 hours and they're shipping them out. Like, you're done, you're discharged. Whereas Marissa's just laying in this very large private room from, I don't know, like a little scuffed up face for a few days. So she's in there and they show her with just like some jeans and her bra on and she's about to put on her shirt. And as she's putting on her shirt and it's like, the buttons are still open and you can see her finely tanned and oiled cleavage. Like Luca just walks in and she says, don't you knock. But they're showing the door with a window without a shade. Like she's just walking around with no privacy anyway.
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, they have a conversation about that. He's like, I know, my family, you know, didn't like you. And she's like, yeah, and they should probably be thrilled that it, you know, you haven't been around me. But he's definitely like, come back to me. You know you want it. And she kind of has a look like maybe she does a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that they will get back together until he finds someone new.
Well, and this is where I was like, oh, new... New younger guy, yeah, Abby or Lily, like one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that could, you know, come on, let's give me something to go on here, people.
Yeah, right.
There's a shortage of fine ass single guys in Genoa City, apparently.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So that's that.
Okay, good.
Oh, I want to tell you about Delia's commemoration or her ceremony really fast. Because it was pretty short. But so it's the 2-year anniversary of Delia's death. And, you know, Adam is out on bail and everybody is really upset. Michael's defending him. Mm-hmm. Lauren's pissed off about that. Like when Michael and Lauren have just now reconciled, essentially. Yeah. And she's like, well, I'm just trying to process. But okay, he's going to defend this horrible murder. So they have this thing in the park where they wanted to plant a ginkgo tree.
Oh, that's nice.
So they had these really lame scenes, though, of Summer and Kyle together. And Esther was like, I'm so busy. Oh, my gosh. Can you go get the ginkgo tree? Everything's paid for. All you got to do is bring it to the park. And I got to go because I'm going to help set up. And they're like, fine. And then they're all over town. They can't seem to find a ginkgo tree. It was just like a really lame plot device to make it feel like this, the commemorative, I don't know, the ceremony wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Even though, I'm sorry, but, like, if the tree didn't happen, everybody's still going to show up and, like, you know, release a balloon like they did with Colleen or something.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And they keep saying, what would Delia have wanted? What would Delia have said?
Oh, my God. She was, like, 7 years old.
I know, as if she was this incredibly...
She would have wanted ice cream and cake and have been done.
Yeah, pretty much. And so they're all kind of there, and they're all about to get started. And Adam shows up, and everybody's like, oh, you cannot be here right now. Well, like, how
inappropriate.
Don't you think, I mean, though, it is inappropriate.
Oh, yeah.
He should not have been there.
But I also think that they have way too many death commemorations on this show. You can't die on this show and just be forgotten. Everyone, you know, Colleen and Tracy mourning forever, and the yearly anniversary of Mrs. Chancellor's death, and the gala for Mothers Against Drunk Driving for that other kid who died, and it's just like... God, when are the birthday parties?
Yeah. Well, that might be indicative of age.
When, you know, it's just like, God, why does it always have to be so surrounding somebody's death?
For real. Yeah. Well, so they're all kind of gathering. Adam shows up, and Adam is like, I totally, you know, I get it, but I just want you to know that if I could, if I could take the place of Delia, you know, if I could die and she could come back, like, you know, and he kind of makes this little speech. Anyway, who walks in is Chloe. Pointing a gun at Adam, and she's like, oh, let's make that happen. And she's pretty
angry. Please tell me it was a huge gun, like a Victor-sized gun.
No, it was like a... Like a tiny...
Or was that a Lady Remington?
Yes, exactly. Just like that. And everybody is, you know, shocked and horrified. No, Chloe, put down the gun. And, you know, and they kind of go through this thing where she's like, you know, you deserve to die and you're a terrible person. And Chelsea steps in between and she's like, please don't. What would Delia have wanted? What would Delia have said right now? And finally talks Chloe down.
Right between the eyes.
and then the ceremony, like, after the gun is pulled and then Adam leaves, the ceremony still sort of continues, which was interesting.
That's weird. You'd think that would kind of be the end of it and you'd go and have lunch.
Yeah, okay. Well, and they kind of did, you know. Some people said, let's go have ice cream and cake. And Billy said, let's go get plowed.
Right.
And they just, like... take the gun from Chloe, and somebody hands it to Kevin. Kevin's like, yeah, I'll just turn that into the police station next time I'm there. And just slips it in his pocket. And Chloe goes back to the athletic club, where I guess she has a room for the night, or however long she may be staying. And she runs into Billy in the hallway. And I thought it was hilarious that, first of all, they have somebody, you know, attempted murder in a way, right? Or somebody plotting murder.
Absolutely.
And they just, let's just take the gun and let her go. She's fine. Let her cool down. She just needs to take a breath.
Yeah. And the fact that she's coming from a mental institution, right?
Yes.
Doesn't ever play into it.
So, no, but then somebody made a comment, what is her mental health right now? Is she okay? She seemed kind of heated.
She's a little off today, don't you think?
And so then she runs into Billy in the hallway of the athletic club, and he's like, hey, how's it going? And she was on some sort of phone call that was secretive. And she covered by saying, oh, she has a dog, and somebody's dog sitting for her. I don't know, the whole thing was kind of weird. And Billy's kind of frustrated, but he's just doing his thing, and she says, well, what if we could kill Adam secretly? And he looked at her and he went, oh, whoa, no, that's a bad idea. And she goes, oh, I was just kidding. Just kidding. No big deal. And she's saying, but seriously, wouldn't it be nice if Adam was just dead? And I saw the fear in his eyes. And I appreciated that Billy, for the first time, he was like, it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be really frustrated. But then when you really start plotting and actively taking action, that's where you crossed a line.
Yeah, for Billy.
And, but that being said, it is so very clear that you have somebody with mental health issues who is
just having a breakdown,
purchased
in front
a weapon
of you.
With the intention of killing. It's like, I felt like just thinking about the current state of, like, you know, everybody debating about mental health and the access to guns in the United States. Like, this is one of those moments that they really could have delved into.
Yeah.
But they were just like, oh, let's just take it away. She's good.
Oh, well, never mind.
Send a bottle of
champagne. Oh, yeah, you know, that would have been a really good, powerful kind of storyline to go through.
Yes.
That's that they wimped out.
And I don't know. I mean, it was as far as I know. I mean, it's not over with Chloe. I didn't get the sense that she's just going to be gone by breakfast. I don't know that she's really like back. But
hope she's back because if you know Esther is running the coffee
that's
shop,
what I thought.
She's got
yeah.
a built-in job.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's keep Chloe around because I've always loved her.
I know she. Yeah, she's one of your favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, that's kind of where I left it. I know there's another episode that I haven't seen, but
okay,
yeah. So for at least at the moment, she's back.
And all right, good.
It was kind of interesting because she and Kevin also had a little interaction where she was like, "So are you seeing anybody?" And he didn't really want to talk about it, but she pulled it out of him and he said, "Yeah, I'm seeing another crazy girl."
Yeah, right.
And she was like, "Can't you just do normal for once?" And he was like, "No, that's no fun."
Yeah, yeah.
Like my lady's a little insane.
Kind of like he is, Silver Chipmunk.
Yeah. So, and I was thinking about Mariah a lot too, that she's somebody that I feel like they brought her back. They brought back that actress.
Yeah.
Because they and really wanted to do a lot with her. Yeah, it's like, what is the point of Mariah?
Yeah, she has no storyline. She has no interest,
no.
Really. Yeah, she's fallen very flat.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's
okay.
That.
Okay.
Do we have anything else to talk about?
No, I think we are recapped, so let's talk about the contest.
Okay. A lot of people...
The quiz.
Yes, the quiz. A lot of people have already entered, but in order to enter the contest, you just have to go to our Facebook page, The Young and the Restless Recap, and I've posted a quiz, much like the last one, where... you know, you just...
Twitter is super hard.
Do you really think it's that hard?
I do.
Oh.
And I'm glad. Did you fix that grammar error?
I did. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I immediately did.
Okay.
Yeah, so take the quiz.
Because we're teachers.
Yeah,
we're setting an example here.
I care. Yeah, so if you take the quiz, at the end it asks for your name and your city. And we'll announce the winner in November, but I think we said you have till October 31st to take the quiz. And
right.
The prize is the same prize as last time, a custom ceramic travel mug. And that being said, you know, there's only one. And I wanted, though, to make something that even if you enter, if you're just interested, you could get some sort of other small token. So I had custom postcards made. So if you get on Facebook and you just send me a quick message with your address, I will send you at least one of our custom little special postcards.
Yes, but don't post your address on the page.
No. Send it to me privately.
Send it as a private message.
Yeah. I did not realize how cheap it is to get custom postcards made. I'm pretty excited.
Oh, boy.
I'm just going to be sending them all over the place. I remember last time we talked about, because online, there are addresses for the Newman Ranch. Like, I think I'm going to send a postcard to the Newman Ranch.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah.
It'll return to sender.
Right.
Anyway, so make sure you go to Facebook, find us, The Young and the Restless Recap. And so our next podcast, I think, will probably be the beginning of November, right?
Yeah, probably.
I'm curious to see what kind of thing they do for Halloween this year, since Billy's typical Halloween party has sort of been on the side since Delia died,
mm-hmm.
but now maybe we'll do something fun again.
Yeah, I hope so. I much prefer Billy's Halloween party and the absurdity of the costumes than the death of a young child. Yeah. Maybe it's just me, but
I don't
have a party scene.
With Game of Thrones being so popular, I just thought, like, what a great set of costumes that they could, like, do that kind of play, you know, of, like, characters from YNR being Game of Thrones characters. I know they probably won't do it, but I just thought that would be hilarious, right?
That would be really funny. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Anyway. Okay. I think that's it.
I think that's it.
All right, see ya.
Bye.